Hello and welcome to News Hour from the BBC World Service. We're coming to you live from London. I'm James Menendez. And we're going to start straight away in Ethiopia and the conflict between the federal government and dissident forces in the northern Tigray region. After 3 weeks of fighting, the government says it's now in control of the main city in the province, Mekele, though there's no independent confirmation of that. But the leader of the TPLF, the Tigrayan authorities, Debretsion Gebremichael, admitted his militia was withdrawn, but had vowed to fight on. Well, getting information about what happened during the operation to take the city is proving extremely difficult. Communications are limited and independent accounts hard to come by. Well, one international organisation that is working in the city right now is the International Committee of the Red Cross. And the picture they paint today is bleak, with hospitals there now running dangerously low on supplies as they try to treat those wounded in the fighting. I've been speaking to Crystal Wells, Horn of Africa spokeswoman for the ICRC, who's in touch with their teams on the ground.
So the last update I have from our team there, which is from this afternoon, is as of today, the city is calm. But obviously, this comes after a day of fighting around the city. The Ethiopia Red Cross has been able to continue its ambulance service to evacuate the wounded and the dead. And they're bringing them to one of the main referral hospitals in the city, which our team visited yesterday. And they found a very grim picture of a hospital with a large number of trauma injuries that they are struggling to care for because they're running dangerously low on medical supplies.
In terms of numbers of casualties, I mean, what are we talking about?
I mean, candidly, we don't have an accurate picture of this right now. But what we do know is just anecdotally from this one hospital that our team visited is that the doctors and nurses there estimated that about 80% of the patients yesterday were trauma injuries. And this influx of wounded basically meant that they had to take their staff and what little resources they have and dedicate it fully to emergency care. And they've suspended other services for chronic, you know, and ongoing medical conditions other than emergency medical care.
And just to be clear, these are civilians who've been caught up in the fighting and wounded.
That's also, to be candid, not totally clear to us either at this time.
And in terms of the shortage of supplies at that hospital, is that because they've been overwhelmed or were there already problems with medical supplies anyway? Is it because everything's been cut off and supplies haven't been able to get in? Why has that happened?
So you've had basically now more than 3 weeks of a major supply chain disruption into Mekele. So hospitals like this one, it's a huge referral hospital and they obviously need regular supply chain basically to get the drugs and medicines that they need. And we knew before the fighting yesterday that the hospital was already struggling with supplies to care for chronic but still potentially life-threatening conditions, things like being able to provide dialysis treatment, for example. But yesterday, what our team found is that the supplies have really reached a very critical level and they're running out of really basic supplies. They also don't have enough body bags to care for the dead. They're running low on food.
And am I right in thinking that you've also been dealing with an influx of Eritrean refugees into the city? Is that right?
That is right. So there are estimates that about 1,000 Eritrean refugees have come into Mekele, and they're coming from camps around Shide, and they have been very reliant on humanitarian assistance. We've had a number of them actually coming to our sub-delegation in Mekele asking if they can get support for basic things like food. And the supply chain disruptions are also impacting getting relief items to really vulnerable people like these Eritrean refugees.
It's so difficult because there's so little information coming out. Mm-hmm. Did you get any sort of picture at all of what had happened in the past couple of days in Mekele? I mean, was there a big battle? I mean, is the place damaged? What went on?
It's still, frankly, unclear to our team also, and we would be really cautious to speculate, I think, to the extent of things at this time. Thankfully, though, our teams were able to still move within Mekele proper and visit this hospital and at least get a picture of some of the medical needs.
Yeah, and just finally, I mean, are you expecting the situation in terms of supplies to start in improving now, given that the government says it's in control of Mekele?
So we've been discussing with authorities to try and get some relief items, especially medical supplies, into the city, and we very much hope that we'll be able to do that soon. At the same time, in other parts of the state, we've also sent assessment teams to other parts of Tigray. So a couple of weeks ago, we had teams go to healthcare facilities in North Amhara and West Tigray and assess some of the situations there. They found similar struggles with healthcare facilities in that area also. And we were able, thankfully, to deliver some medical supplies in those areas. And we're hoping also to go back to some of these areas this week and to provide some basic relief items to people who've been displaced from their homes too.
Crystal Wells of the ICRC. Well, a little earlier today, I spoke to the Ethiopian government to try to get some more details about what happened in Mekele. Bilene Seyoum is the press secretary for the Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed. I asked her first to confirm that the city was now fully under the control of the Ethiopian army and its affiliated forces.
I do confirm that the National Defense Forces have taken over the city of Mekele yesterday. Critical public institutions, including the airport, the regional government's hospitals are all under federal authority and the National Defense Forces.
How much resistance was there?
I don't have any information on resistance, but one thing that is very clear in the information that has come in is that the residents in the city of Mekele were very cooperative with the National Defense Forces. As you know, over the past weeks, there has been great caution and care from the National Defense Forces to avoid cities and towns in order to ensure that there's no civilian casualties. So what I have information with regards to Mekele being under the federal command is that there was no any targeted towards civilians that would end in casualties as well.
Right, but were there any casualties during the fighting?
I don't have any information on that at the moment.
There have been some reports today that a hospital in the city was bombed by federal forces. Did that happen?
Federal forces would not do that. We have intelligence over the past few weeks, and we have been sharing that actually, that the TPLF would be in preparations to do something as horrific as what had occurred in Maykadra and pin it on the federal government. We have also evidence that is surfacing in other cities that have come under the command of the federal government, where TPLF forces were also hiding weapons in public areas, including churches and worship areas as well. So if anything, I don't have any information to that effect. And with certainty, the National Defense Forces would not be targeting public utilization or infrastructure that is in service to the public.
How worried are you about the prospect of a long insurrection by TPLF forces?
TPLF, unlike the way that it's been touted over the past few weeks for being battle-hardened, is really not. The old guard are still under the illusion of their guerrilla warfare that they had engaged in back in the 80s. However, a majority of the Tigray people are really exhausted from that. And what you witness over the past 3 years specifically is, while the TPLF old guards were much more rooted and focused on the political instabilities that they were behind to destabilize Ethiopia, there hasn't been a lot of focus for residents within the region. So the economy is not doing that great. There hasn't been a lot of focus on essential services as well. So the people of Tigray are really exhausted, and there isn't that momentum from within the region that would support the TPLF for these kind of long drawn out altercations.
Right. Well, it's difficult for us to ask people there because, of course, you know, many journalists, you know, can't get access and we can't communicate with them. But I suppose the question is, how are you going to persuade people in Tigray to support the central government?
This is not a matter of persuasion per se. There's been a lot of public consultations that have been had with Ethiopians of Tigray origin who are in the capital city as well. But now going into the Tigray region, the provisional administration, which has been set up constitutionally by the House of Federation, is already active. They're already on the ground, and one of their primary tasks over the 6 months of the duration of the state of emergency is to set up the institutions that have been betrayed by the TPLF, because some of their critical services were betrayed by the leadership that had been put in there. That ran off, leaving the services unattended for their own population as well. So setting up humanitarian provisions, setting up services that are key in the area, and a key aspect of that is also engaging in dialogue with the people of Tigray. Now, one thing to really understand about the provisional administration of Tigray that has been set up is that it's not a foreign body, but it's constituted or comprises political parties from the Tigray region and people of Tigray who are now working in favor of addressing the needs of the Tigray people.
That was Bilene Sayoum, press secretary for the Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed. Well, the fighting in northern Ethiopia has forced tens of thousands of people to flee, mostly to neighbouring Sudan. Filippo Grandi is the UN High Commissioner for Refugees. He's in Sudan and he's been visiting the refugee camps and described the situation.
People continue to come. Yesterday we had about 800 crossing the Sudanese border. The day before when I was there, 550. So it's not the same figures as we saw a couple of weeks ago, but still substantive numbers of people crossing. Sudan has kept borders open. I think this needs to be noted and commended in these difficult times, in spite of all its challenges. But Sudan needs help, of course, in the response. It doesn't have the resources. Yesterday, the UN put out an appeal for $150 million for 6 months. And it is important to respond, that donors respond quickly, because we do need to step up the response, both at the border and in the location that has been identified by the Sudanese government to move people to, in order to be away from the more dangerous areas.
Yeah, I'm afraid time's a little bit limited, but I do need to ask you about this. These reports that thousands of Eritrean refugees who'd lived in Tigray, that they'd been abducted by Eritrean troops. Do you know what's happened to them?
No, unfortunately, we have no access anymore to those camps in Tigray, but it is a great concern, the treatment of those 100,000 Eritrean refugees. Ethiopia has always hosted them with great generosity, so I keep appealing to the federal government of Ethiopia for this hospitality to continue. This is their responsibility, and they need to continue to uphold it. I am very worried about that.
But if it is true, and it's Eritrean troops that have crossed over the border, I mean, is there anything you can do?
There is nothing I can do, especially given that we don't have access to the area. But all I can say at this point, it would be a major violation of international norms if this had happened. But I don't have any confirmation that this has happened, other than the reports that you have seen.
Filippo Grandi, the UN High Commissioner for Refugees, and we'll be hearing more about the fate of those Eritrean refugees a little later in the programme. You're listening to NewsHour.